Rolene marks a very, very good morning to you.
Good morning. No problem at all. Quite an astoundingly sad week for South Africa. But I do have to tell you, the one shining star on the whole of the week was watching the Ndlovu Children's Choir on AGT. We get a cheer in Israel, people.
they are just absolutely wonderful. And through to the finals, we just wish them all the best. And that is what South Africa should be about. That's what we should be showcasing in the world. But we were talking about gender-based violence. Israel also, unfortunately, dealing with that same issue this week. Tell us about that story.
Okay, so there has been a rise in the amount of gender-based violence in Israel. Last year, there was a total of 26 women who were killed as a result of violence from their spouses or lovers or partners. And I know that 26 doesn't seem like a very, very big number if you compare it to perhaps other places in the world. But for a country the size of Israel, this was a big issue. And, a couple of weeks ago, I shared a story of a women's organization that is running programs in prisons with men who have been arrested for gender-based violence to try and get to the bottom of this. But this week, the week belonged to 21-year-old Isra Chayeb from a small village called Beit Sahul, just very, very close to Bethlehem. And the story is as follows. She went out to meet a young man, not a stranger, a man that she was intending to marry. And like millions of us around the world, documented the very, very innocent meeting at a restaurant by putting it on Instagram. Now, her family saw this and took it as bringing their honor, the family honor, into disrepute. And her father is alleged to have given her brother the order to beat his sister. And beat her so severely that later she actually, unable to walk and get her balance, she fell over the rail of a balcony and broke her spine and was subsequently hospitalized. And if this wasn't barbaric enough, family members came to the hospital and they beat her to death. She managed to record some of the beating before she succumbed to her wounds. And it's horrified people in the region, people around the world, to hear this 21-year-old woman pleading for her life. And unfortunately, it ended with a loss of life. And you know, she's a statistic. She is one of many of these types of killings in the region and around the world. But what it has done is it's brought many, many Palestinian women into the streets protesting that enough is enough. And I know we've had people like Rashida Tlaib, of course, blame it on Israel because, you know, never miss an opportunity to blame something on Israel. But this is something that you can't blame on another country. This is very, very specifically gender-based violence.
Terrible. Terrible that this is a global, very clearly a global phenomenon. And what's also interesting to me is one would almost think it should be the other way around. In other words, the type of violence that we are seeing now and that we are talking about now is a lot more extreme in some cases, obviously, than the Me Too movement. You would have thought that it would have started here and then moved to the Me Too movement, but it actually started there and now hashtag Am I Next becoming a major hashtag and talking point. It's almost that now, only now, we're ready to talk about the real, not the real, because I don't assume that the other is not real either, but a very aggressive form of violence. And it's just very, very worrying.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't watched the news in South Africa this week and has been absolutely devastated and outraged of the death of a young UCT student who was raped and murdered. I think it was at the post office, and the kidnapping of another young girl. These are very, very, very frightening phenomenons. And this is why, you know, with much respect to the Me Too movement and other movements like that, we have to be very careful on what we see as somebody making a pass at you to somebody beating you to within an inch or maybe taking your life.
Absolutely. Time is 7:53. Roline Marks, so tell us about Jason Greenblatt resigning.
No, I think we're all quite, we're saddened by this news. Yeah. You know, Jason Greenblatt, I think next to Nikki Haley, has been one of the Trump administration appointments that many have felt has been very, very dedicated, very, very even keeled. His resignation comes as quite a bit of a shock to us, but apparently, you know, in further investigation, he wasn't planning to stay in this role for longer than 2 years. You know, he has 6 children, and I'm sure they would love to see him, but he has worked tirelessly, not just, you know, for the state of Israel in trying to get the Trump peace plan, whatever it may contain, we don't really know. I think it's got a longer gestation period than an elephant. We've been waiting for news on that, and you know, news of his resignation is taken with a lot of sadness by us. He has advocated tirelessly for peace in the region. He has been very, very, he's had a lot of strong words to say when there has been a rejection of overtures towards peace or when there have been, attacks on, you know, from either side. And, you know, he has, been seen as somebody who's extremely rational and also just gets it. And in the last couple of weeks, he's really earned the respect of many, around the country because of his efforts to try and pressure the United Nations to bring home, or to pressure Hamas to allow us to bring home the remains of Oron Shaul and, Hadar Golden, the two, fallen soldiers who remains Hamas still have, as well as 2 Israeli civilians, who are being held captive by Hamas. And, you know, they've been glowing, accolades on social media over the last 24 hours for Jason Greenblatt. Many of us comparing him to Nikki Haley and, even President Trump himself saying, you know, he's an excellent lawyer. He's done a great job. And now it's time for him to go back to the private sector and, maybe have a career that is a little, I would say a little less stressful.
Yeah, I mean, the stress levels that he must be dealing with is massive. Can only imagine.
Well, we do have a replacement for him, you know, we wish that replacement, you know, everything of the best, but pretty big shoes to fill. He's worked very, very closely with Jared Kushner. I'm very, very curious to see exactly what the Trump peace plan entails. We've seen a little bit with Peace to Prosperity, which I had a read of. It looked to me very much like the Marshall Plan. It seemed very rational, very much a bottom-up approach. You know, we can say what we like about President Trump, but this specific aspect that was put forward at the Bahrain conference was extremely well received by the Arab world. The only people who didn't seem to receive it well were the Palestinians, which is a pity because it's extremely positive and very, very, very rational and very well thought out.
Yeah, and Roline, just returning to gender-based violence, Sarah Netanyahu in a little bit of a spat again.
What are we going to do with Sarah Netanyahu, Howard? What are we going to do? I mean, you can't give her bread, obviously.
No, she doesn't eat the carbs, and she just throws it away. So
I don't know, maybe
she's a little bit of a liability, isn't she?
A huge liability. I mean, what is it that when you don't eat carbs?
Anger and misery. That's the one.
Mic drop, Howard. Mic drop. No, I'm telling you, somebody please, somebody give her a toasted cheese because the woman clearly needs a carb. So, Sarah Netanyahu is now making headlines. We know that there are various investigations, you know, around the Netanyahu's, this is very much a time where Bibi Netanyahu is fighting for his political future. I mean, we could have a completely different scenario when I talk to you in 2 weeks' time, Howard, about who we have in power. But around the specific allegation of graft involving Israel Hayom, well, the publisher of Israel Hayom is the Adelson family. Miriam Adelson is the key publisher here. And apparently this relationship has gone very sour. I mean, give the woman a piece of cake now, Howard. Follow up.
That's
that
right. I think she's dieting. I think she's dieting and she's just angry.
She's very, and also, you know, when she landed in the Ukraine, she was dressed the same color as the carpet that she walked out. So who would have seen her, Howard? Don't camouflage the Prime Minister's wife, people.
Yeah.
But, she's gone so far. I mean, I've heard of the rebels, Howard, but really, she's gone so far as to blame Miriam Adelson, saying that if Iran nukes Israel, it's going to be Miriam Adelson's fault. And
that
why is it going to be
sensible.
Miriam Adelson's fault? Because she doesn't, because Israel Hayom is not pushing the coverage of the Netanyahus to the level that they would like it. And part of the graft probe, one of the allegations is that they would try and get the other free dailies off the press so that they could have Israel Hayom, which would, you know, of course, be the mouthpiece of the Netanyahu family. And, you know, Israel is a very robust democracy. We don't take too kindly to this kind of action. We are very proud of our extremely free press, even though there are times we are extremely critical of publications like Haaretz. But really, blaming somebody for a possible nuke attack by Iran is going a little bit far.
Yeah, I would think even for Sarah Netanyahu, and even whilst she is not eating carbs. Raleen Marks, thank you as always for a very interesting and quite diverse Israel report. We'll catch up with you Monday morning as you're standing in for Anthony Rock at 7:45. You have a fantastic weekend.